So Patty and I have this running joke that if we run out of ideas to talk about on the podcast, we can always talk about aliens. Right?
Yeah.
It's come to that point many times already in the last month, would you say?
Yes.
But in the end, we've always come up with a topic that felt inspired and aligned. But today, we don't have anything like that. So we thought we'd do something kind of fun and different. I think you'll find it both light and deep. And what we're going to do is ask each other deeper questions, questions that you probably pondered yourselves. And we're not going to respond as the experts, because most of these questions are really just comes down to an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one of the things I like about podcasts is it feels like sometimes there are conversations that I always thought it would be fun to be a part of.
Yeah.
In fact, me, you, and Aaron, we always find ourselves when we're running retreats having these awesome conversations. And we've said many times, like, man, this would make a great podcast,
yeah,
this discussion, right?
Yeah.
So that's our goal here, is to kind of create something like that for you. And you can let us know your feedback. So what's that first question, babe? And then I'll ask you one after that.
Okay. It says, what do you think happens when you die?
What do I think happens? What do you think happens? And I'll share my piece.
I don't necessarily believe that we die per se, right? Like, I feel like we just sort of transcend, right? Like the I that I am doesn't die. The physical body that I have, that the I lives in, dies. And so I kind of feel like we just sort of wake up out of this dream per se, right? Like the dream of life. And you want me to go into like I feel like you,
yeah,
go,
I think
up,
everyone, you know, that listens thinks basically that. So come on, give us something more than that.
Okay, well, I feel like you have like your life review, right, where you get to see the good and the not so great moments of your life, and the you go over the lessons that you learn with like your spirit guides and your team, you know,
yeah,
up there. And then I think I believe we get to do whatever we want. I think we can learn if we want to. I think we can make music if we want to. I think that we can, you know, do kind of whatever we want while we're up there until we feel ready to come back.
What do you think we're doing here then? That sounds pretty dope.
Learning.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could go a bit deeper too. I feel like it's like kind of hard. I could go on for a very long time about this topic.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the cliff notes, but I do feel like, you know, when we're on the other side, if you will, or in heaven or whatever you want to call it, the spirit realm, we have a lot of opportunities to learn things. And I believe we choose to come here to Earth to speed up our evolution, our spirit's evolution.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I don't know, I believe that it takes a little longer if we don't come here. And I think that's why life feels so challenging.
Yeah. Right on. So, okay, I'll share my opinion now, which, by the way, guys, is just an opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on podcasts before where people ask me these questions, similar ones anyway, as if I actually have some type of, as if I really know.
Right.
Nobody knows.
Right.
I can share with you. What I'll share with you is what I intuitively feel and what I've learned. What I've learned confirms what you said. I used to do, in fact, when I first had my spiritual awakening, on the way to work, I used to always stop and get lunch when I worked at the fitness studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit there on my phone and I would go to this one website. I believe it was neardeath.com. And you could just read about people's near-death experiences, mm-hmm, one after the other.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating because they were all, you could just tell, it just didn't seem like somebody was making this up. And there were so many parallels and so much consistency in the different like tales of this. And they all, basically what I read was like some of the commonalities is when you die, you float above your body. you're not at all stressed out. There's no like, oh man, I died, damn it. You know, it's always like, huh.
Yeah.
It sometimes takes a minute for people to figure out that they're dead. And once they do, sometimes they'll stay and kind of hang around the loved ones if that's sort of the scene they're part of. But many times they find themselves shortly after they float out of their body, they see a light, just like you'd see in the movies or the fairy tales, like there's a bright light. Mm-hmm. And the souls, they seem to all know, have some kind of knowing that that's where they're meant to go. They need to go to the light, and they do. And they go to the light, and it feels like pure love, pure bliss. It makes all the troubles of their life, even if, you know, some crazy stuff was going on right before dying, it's like it never happened. They're just completely connected and like blissed out. And then on the other side, you get into kind of what you said, where if you get kind of far enough, because again, these are near-death experiences. These are people right. who kind of did that, and then they've come back to life. But oftentimes they're met by deceased loved ones. Mm-hmm. Some people see Jesus and you know, different like archetypal energies like that. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, she died in the hospital and came back to life. And when she died, she said she saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she told him that she's got work to do with her kids, and she requested to come back, and he let her, and she came back to life. And it was a very, to the day she died, it wasn't like a dream. It was something yeah. that she like really knew in her heart happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's kind of common. And then beyond that, many times people have the review, which from the sounds of it, it's like an instantaneous recollection of every single moment in your dream, in yeah. your life, and also all the different reactions that people had. So like, it's not just you see like a movie, you like somehow download into your brain the entirety of your life and the ramifications it had on everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you're like, it's probably a big pill to swallow, I imagine,
yeah.
when you see like how all of your actions affected other people.
Yeah.
And then from there, from the sounds of it, you consult with your team, your the ascended masters, the council, your guys, whatever, you know, these souls that like do this kind of thing. They kind of, you like a mentor figure, you discuss it, like, okay. And then from there, you kind of plot your next steps. But from the sounds of it, after that point, you are pretty much free as a bird to do what you want. You can go to any time, any place, any type of life. You can stay and chill on the other side for a long time. And you really, it's almost like all of our wildest dreams don't even hold a candle to like the immense freedom and power you have. But the quality that strikes me a lot is just the quality of the vibration people say. It's like pure love.
Yeah.
You become reconnected with knowing you're eternal, knowing that lifetime was a little blip in your soul's journey. You see the higher purpose. You're not harboring any of our human emotions of fear and resentment and anger and grief. It's like you are all of us, you are reconnected with like that love, divine connection frequency. And then from there, you play with all of eternity. And that all resonates. Maybe I'm just hopeful that that's how it actually is. But that to me seems, I don't know. I don't know if it's that I want to believe it, honestly, because it sounds so enticing and so nice. But I honestly think I do believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had, obviously, a near-death experience, but, you know, my brother passed away, and so I started this like journey of death, right? And I sort of wanted to kind of get to the bottom of what I believe, you know, and I didn't want to like have anything sugar-coated, so I ended up coming across this Dolores Cannon book, Between Death and Life.
Nice, yeah.
And then I also read Journey of Souls by Michael Newton, and there's very similar past life regressions, but for people that have already crossed over that are on the other side and sharing the information. And what I found interesting was, as I was like listening to the two different books, I really was able to kind of go in and be like, wow, I don't know if I believe that, right? Or man, that sounds like right up my alley, you know? And
Well, which parts exactly? Which parts? So give me an example, if you don't mind, of like something that resonated and something that didn't resonate.
Well, with Dolores, in Dolores Cannon's book, she talked about like entities and fairy beings and elves and things like that, different interdimensional beings.
Yeah, it gets very, very
and,
out there.
I don't know if I fully believed some of what she was saying that people were sharing, just based on my own personal experiences with things like that. But I'd have to give it another listen, I think, to really...
Yeah, I'm like, just curious. You know, and what about what did resonate a lot out of those different books?
One of the things that she had... I don't remember which book it was in, actually. It might have been in both of them. But like if somebody dies suddenly, like in a car accident or falling, and they
can become they like a lost soul, right?
No.
They're dead?
No, what I am remembering, so take this with a grain of salt, right, is that like sometimes people when they die, their spirits do get like I guess we'll say overstimulated, right? And then they need to like, or if they had a really hard life, right, then they have to go to this place to rest and like recalibrate before they're ready. But then if people like they die tragically or something and they're not ready to die and they end up dying, then one of their guides will stay with them and like comfort them. And like, or it's usually ends up being like a person that they knew and loved and trusted from their life to help them to
assimilate.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. To like assimilate and get comfortable with being on the spirit world, in the spirit world, before they even do anything else. Because having the life review, as you said, it's like an instantaneous thing, right? And so that can be jarring for somebody who's not really even sure that they are where they're at, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine, I've read all that too. I would imagine they don't do the life review until they're ready. Mm-hmm. I would doubt they're getting the life review when they're like, oh, I don't even know, I'm dead. What the fuck? Yeah. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
But no, I also read similar things where, yeah, depending on the death, you know, like Dolores Cannon or Michael Newton's, they have like explanations for this, whether it's actually how it is or not. I don't know. It makes sense. And one of the things is, yeah, sometimes someone will die and they will like not accept it. Mm-hmm. And they will still kind of, that's where you get like ghosts, people who like almost like are in denial or truly unconscious of the fact that they're dead. So they're trying to hang on to the physical life, resisting mm-hmm. the change. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Which makes some sense, I suppose. And then I've also heard that, yeah, when there is like a really like intense death experience, then there can sometimes be like a place for resting and healing and that kind of thing. So that's all just like food for thought, I guess.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I know. I also thought it was cool. I don't remember. I think it might've been in Dolores Cannon's book, but it was like, you can just choose to get like healing, right? Like sometimes you need it when you cross over, right? So then you have like these, like you go into like a chamber or something, right? And like get healing. And you're just like in that vibration to help
heavenly
you.
Heavenly spa.
Yeah, yeah, I guess, yeah. Right? I thought that was cool too.
Yeah, it is cool. What else am I going to say about that? Oh yeah, what I wanted to say is that from what I also gathered, and I believe this makes sense to me, is that the death experience is very individual.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they'll die and they'll come back and they'll be like, this is how it is. You see, this is exactly what happens. And I just hearing so many different accounts, it does seem to be very much related to the person's belief system, their
yes.
level of consciousness, you know, their... So a lot of people, but the commonalities are seeing a deceased loved one, seeing something familiar, whether it's a Jesus or this or that.
Buddha or
like,
some, yeah.
There's a lot of commonalities, but I also believe that. That's a strong belief I have, is that it's not just this one experience. It seems like these expanded states of consciousness are far too almost like impossible to even fathom for our human minds. And
yeah.
So I think sometimes we take something like this, even us, we're discussing it, but I think like, if we are truly dead and discussing it, we might articulate it in a very different way or realize there is no way to articulate it. It's like an expanded state of experience and consciousness. So I also don't think there, I think like, it, even if we are like in the ballpark, I think we're only kind of like scratching the surface. I think it's something that really is beyond our ability to really do justice in talking about, though it is kind of fun and interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah. What else you got there?
Okay, let's see. Do you want me to just hand it to you so you can?
No, just you just pick one. Surprise me.
Okay.
We did promise to talk about aliens, so we got to do that at some point.
Yeah, we will. Okay. Do you believe we choose our life before we come here? Think it was like fitting?
Yeah, I do.
After that,
I think. And this comes from my own personal spiritual experiences, just to say. This is not just regurgitating what I've read. This is like from my own glimpses of higher consciousness, whether it's through just meditation or psychedelics or just sometimes it just happens sometimes. I think, yes, we choose. I also think there does, at least for me, that there does seem, I do believe that part of what influences that choice is what people call karma. Mm-hmm. I do feel like there are certain things I'm exploring in this lifetime that are, yes, my choice, but also like maybe not have been my first choice, but something like I chose to do because of light of maybe how I lived other lives.
Right.
You know, for example, I was hit by a firecracker and I really have a strong, in past life regressions, I've had multiple times these like what seemed like past life memories of me being involved with something happening to my family involving a fire. Like it seems to me that what I picked up was there was some neglect on my part, some mistake I made where my family like tragically died in a fire. I just know it's kind of a dark thing to say. I talked about that.
No, I know. I'm kidding. Cause it's like, us.
Yeah, but anyway, this is my own, these are our own theories now. I can't say for sure, but I've always had asthma. My mom smoked with me, not to bash her. She didn't know. It was a long time ago.
Yeah,
she smoked with me when I was like, when she was pregnant. So I've always had not horrible lung issues. I'm actually in good shape. I work out a lot, but like I've always had asthma. I've always like not done well with smoke. I was literally hit by a freaking crazy ass firecracker out of the blue, out of like 50 people. And it was very painful. It was a very serious thing.
Yeah.
And what I speculate is that like I caused suffering involving fire to other people in other lifetimes. And I don't think I was like maybe punishing myself, but it was like, I do feel like my soul felt the need to rebalance things and maybe get a taste of my own medicine, get a taste of what I caused other people. So I do think like, did we choose our lives? That's sort of like what I have gleaned from, again, these sometimes confusing glimpses into like remembering that kind of thing. I don't have a direct knowing of that, but you know, what I feel intuitively and what I've seen in my own spiritual journey, it does tend to line up with the idea of karma and free will kind of blended together. So what do you think?
I do think that we choose to have certain experiences, and I do think that when we go into a life, we have a choice, and we, for our spiritual evolution, we choose certain things, and whether or not we want to experience them, but know it's going to be for our greatest good, and then we choose those things.
And, or the greater good of others.
Yes, the greater good of others. And I do think that there is some like energetic balance that does take place sometimes. But I also, I don't know, I don't necessarily, I wouldn't call it karma per se.
Yeah.
Because I don't know much about karma. And I know a little bit, right? Like what it is, but I don't necessarily believe that we choose our lives based on our karma. But again, this is just my own belief.
Yeah, well, you know? Karma has... these days has a lot of like maybe unappealing outdated connotations. But I meant karma like awareness, almost kind of like if I like, you know, step on your toe, I'm going to want you to step on my toe. No, I'm just kidding. It's not quite like that. But yeah, it's just like an awareness of wanting to make things right. Yeah. Not because some law is making me or some pissed off creator, but more so like, oh, I didn't. God, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I now can see from this vantage point, I can now see like the ripple effect of that, those choices.
Yeah.
And maybe I can somehow contribute to the whole in this next lifetime. It's more so like that, more of like a, not a forced prison sentence per se, more like just like any human would naturally want to like make things right. If they discovered later on, they did something like that was like harmful.
Especially on that. And that like realm and being in that at that frequency and that level of consciousness of like unity, and it's like when you hurt someone else, you're hurting yourself.
Uh-huh.
And so like let's, you know, put that good energy in and to help sort of balance it.
Yeah, but I also think for you too, I don't think it's all that. I think there are also just lessons the soul wants to learn.
Yeah,
like, oh, you know, like it kind of, I also think the way it works is kind of like, it reminds me of this ayahuasca experience where I drank, you know, we always drink like twice, two cups. So I drank the first cup, you know, had my experience, went back for the second cup. And as I was sitting under the stars, kind of like looking up, thinking about my intention, because I felt like I had resolved whatever it was, I don't remember. I was thinking about, okay, what do I want to go into now? And I thought what came to me was, huh, how about unconditional love?
Aww.
And, but you know what I heard in my head? As ayahuasca's response, how about fear?
Yeah.
I was like, no. But that's kind of, I think, sometimes like, I want to learn unconditional love in this lifetime, for example. I think sometimes we'll choose hard lives where we'll really have to like, maybe we'll have an abusive parent that we just like, are like forced to forgive and learn unconditional love. I think sometimes it's not like, well, I'll just be placed in this loving family and I'll see how loving it is.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's the case.
Yes.
But what tends to be the theme in this realm that I've observed is what I described priorly is like, we learn these higher lessons sometimes through their opposite, sometimes through trials, etc.
Yeah.
So I think there's also, I have a feeling like, you know, if we are truly eternal beings, I could imagine it becoming seeming limiting to just be experiencing the higher octaves of life at all times.
Yeah.
And I can see like, oh, it would be kind of neat, interesting, challenging maybe to go to Earth, this tough school, as they say, and learn these hard lessons, because that's also just a different way of learning. Maybe a lesson you can learn other ways, but it's a different way. I think I imagine if we're eternal beings, then I can see where we would come up with such an idea of coming to Earth and it being kind of crap, like intense. Yeah. And but on that, from that higher vantage point, it's like it makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like, wow, wouldn't that be interesting if you were the one that was breaking generational curses, right? Wouldn't that be interesting to just go through all of that hell just to help your family line?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
I think that part is more of like the benevolence of the soul, the nature of the soul. I think a lot of people are here right now doing just that. Maybe not even necessarily motivated by it being interesting, but because they know they can and they want to help.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel like that's like kind of what I
imagine. I know, I'm just sort like, of, yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things where you're just like, oh, wouldn't that be crazy if we just went to Earth and just like had a blast and were wild and then died in a tragic car accident?
Yeah.
Right? Or wouldn't it be crazy to like, you know, be in a wheelchair? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's like one of these things like, huh, that'd be such an interesting perspective to have on life, being in with having that framework.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm pretty sure of this, actually. I would say I feel like we travel in like groups, like packs, like soul families.
Yeah. I think it might have been both books actually that I was talking about, but Yeah, you choose. You get to choose who's in your life in a way, but it's usually it's the same people, not always at all times. It's always the same.
Yeah.
But you have like certain people that you choose, like, oh, hey, babe, we're gonna be married and it's gonna be great. And we're gonna have this life together, you know, and we're gonna mm-hmm. have these kids and they're gonna be here, you know.
Yeah.
And the dogs, and you know, it's like you kind of like come in, yeah, like as a pack.
I think so. I also think it's the people we struggle with as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think
those are also soul family members, perhaps, or at least people that agreed to play that part for us. But
yes,
I've heard that before, and it resonates with me. And also, I feel like I can, I don't know, obviously, but I feel like I can tell. I feel like I can sometimes tell if there's a soul resonance with particular people. Well, not just because, like, you, of course, it's, like, obvious, but, like, also other people I've run into.
Uh-huh.
Maybe having not even spent that much time in my life with them, there does seem to be, I would get these like synchronicities, almost like, in fact, when I met one of my business partners, Andrew, this guy I work with, you know, just for a short time, I remember when I first met him, he had this like look in his eye, this like light or something in his eyes just seemed extremely familiar to me. Like I just knew we were going to become friends and work together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just for a short time, you know?
Yeah.
And then same with me, the way me and you met, it was like, there was this alignment that was like almost like undeniable.
Yeah.
And I've had that. And that to me is awesome. That's a beautiful thing to kind of just the idea of that to me is very exciting to like know that not only are we here for like a much higher purpose and the pain has a purpose as well, but we get to like travel the cosmos with our the loved ones and even like your brother and the people that have passed on. I think it's like we experience this because it's just so temporary. It's like in truth, we're going to start it up again, probably in the blink of an eye, basically, you know, and then do it infinitely more times as well beyond that. And it just very feels like the life of our soul is very, very abundant and full in that way.
Yeah. Lots of love.
Yeah. So what do you say? One more question about aliens.
Okay.
How's that?
Let's see. Where is it? What do you think about aliens or other intelligent beings?
I don't think they exist.
I had to find the question.
No, I'm kidding.
I just ignored you.
Yeah, okay, buddy. I am a huge fan of extraterrestrials. You know that. Me and Patty are like secret nerds. We just watched the Bob Lazar documentary.
Yes.
And then there's one before that, some other disclosure one that was pretty good.
We did finish it.
Yeah, I have a lot I could talk about with that. And I just want to put it out there. I think in this lifetime, we are going to like, as a collective, meet aliens. And I think they're going to eventually be among us. I think they already are among us.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
And I think they're also a variety. I think I've seen so many different like perspectives. And I see some population of people, they look at them like they are all like these super benevolent, high vibe, you know, angelic beings. Yeah. I don't think that's the case. I think it's like, I think there's a diversity personally.
Well, just like there's good people and not so good.
Yeah, I don't think
people.
It's as simple as sometimes people make it. I think they're like, even like this, I'm a huge fan of Bashar. I listen to Bashar a lot. And I almost, I think they're on a very high level. The Essesanis, they're like very high level, high conscious, you know, unity conscious type of beings. But also sometimes it almost seems like they also have their own personal agenda a little bit. Like they do have like they have their own will and they would like to be among us maybe also for just to be nice, but also something for them as well. And I think it's kind of like I don't think it's so cut and dry, but generally speaking, I think that this is such a long discussion. I don't even know where to go with this, to be honest.
I know.
Why don't you say something? I'm just going to get all good.
I definitely feel that there are interdimensional beings and alien beings and other types of beings. I definitely believe in them. And I do agree. I think that there are some that are benevolent and some that have their own agenda. And that agenda may or may not be benevolent.
Real quick to say, I don't personally feel like the second ones you describe have much power here, as people say. I think like the
Yeah,
higher
no, I
level
don't think
ones
so
are kind of
either.
overseeing everything,
Yeah, no, I
and it's
don't
not
think so
really a
either.
big problem the way many people seem to think.
Well, I mean, we have all this sci-fi stuff, and like, you know, it's kind of like ingrained in the unconscious mind that if aliens come, there's gonna be an attack, and they're gonna wanna kill us all. And it's like, but I don't believe that.
No.
I don't think that I think that they really only care about the planet because they don't want us to blow ourselves up,
Yeah.
because that would affect everything else.
Even logically, like we just watched this podcast or this video about the documentary about Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar is this guy who was in like a government space program basically to reverse engineer fallen craft out of the sky. And just like seeing this and hearing his story, just like the level of advancement, it's almost like hard to even fathom how much further along some of these ET like species are. And it would be a shame if a being could evolve that much and still have these very primitive me versus you type of like selfish human unconsciousness types of things to where like they'd get to that level and then they'd want to go dominate. I honestly think that doesn't even make any sense to me. I
No,
feel like if you're going to
same.
get that far, you probably become like maybe telepathic. You probably have realized that we're all one. You probably have your heart chakras opened. You're probably on a very loving sort of no you're I think you're like a noble soul at that point, by definition, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I would also agree with that. I guess, man, this is a hard, it's hard. I think this is why we've never talked about it, 'cause it's kind of like you could go in so many different directions with this, you
We
know?
could talk about like our own experiences. Like the time I went up on the ship and they told me all the what's going to happen to the planet. Should I talk? No, we'll wait
Shut
for another
up.
episode.
Shut up.
Just kidding, guys.
I mean, I've seen UFOs in Sedona.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, we've seen them. We like are kind of waiting to see them now in
Yeah.
Texas.
I think what's happening right now is that they're making themselves available at the level people can handle it. I know a lot of the people listening right now are like, I'm down to meet the aliens. And I feel the same
I'm down
way.
to clown.
But at the same time, I think there's such a vibrational dissonance that we do have work to do. And like, I think our consciousness has to be sort of warmed up to the idea of not just the idea of that, but also warmed up to that frequency. Because when you're in the presence, even like, you know, I've been in the presence of like shamans and people like that, and they can just their presence can like trigger you sometimes. They can bring stuff up with, and they're not even trying. They're just chilling there. And so I can imagine someone like millions of years ahead of us, like what that vibration would do. And I think you know, Bashar talks about it would cause for many just absolute psychosis. It would be like too much of our shadow would be forced up to the surface to try to meet that vibration that it would the mind can't even handle it. So I think that individually and also collectively, we are being sort of guided through this transitional period where we become where we can handle that type of reality.
Yeah,
And then
like
all the benefits I believe that'll come from it.
one of the things that just I always think of when I'm like, oh, I think it'd be cool, you know, they come, and they help us and help let's get our shit together, you know. But I always remember this, 'cause you know, we watched that Corey Good on Gaia, whatever it
Yeah.
was, and he said it's one thing to imagine it and to think about it, but it's a whole nother experience to be in the presence of an extraterrestrial being where you can see them, where you can smell them, where you can watch their movements and see like the way that they move their arms or the way that they eat their food or, you know, like that's a whole different level of reality that we can't really understand until we experience it.
Absolutely. Also, just the mere fact of like being around a being that is far more advanced and intelligent than you.
Right.
We're not used to that. We're used to being around people, and that's like that's the cream of the crop. But we're normally, like, we're sitting by our dog Sunny. I'm not intimidated by him. He's like a doofy dog.
He's so cute.
But imagine
cute.
Like sitting by something that like you can just look at them and you can tell they
think of us like
they're on
they
a whole other
Sunny.
Level of you, and they could like almost toy with you if they wanted to, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see that being kind of bringing up a fear, whether you want to choose to trust them or not, whether you know they mean well or not. I could see just being in the presence of something that intelligent would also take some getting used to. Not even to mention the foreign aspect that you described, like just the way they look and move and communicate and eat and smell, all that would be very, you know, I can see it being...
And I also feel like, just like people, we have people that resonate with us energetically and people that don't.
Yeah.
And it's the same, I think, for extraterrestrials. It's like there's going to be extraterrestrials that really, like, we're drawn to. Like, for you, for example, the Asasanis, you know.
Bashar,
yeah. Right? And for me, it's the Pleiadians. And, you know, like, I think that that's just right now what I energetically gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were here, you know, who knows what would, you know?
Yeah. I might decide I don't prefer the Pleiadians.
No, I think I think I would. I'd ask them to change my color.
Change your color?
My skin color.
What do you mean? To like what color?
To match them.
What color are they supposed to be?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I had this book. It was gifted to me. I don't know, by you or Aaron or something. Somebody. The Pleiadian workbook.
Didn't Lior give that to us or recommend it?
Or maybe. I don't know. I have no idea how I ended up with this book. But in the book, she describes the Pleiadian beings as colors. Red, yellow, blue, and green.
Oh, really? Those specific colors.
Is that how they are? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Possibly.
Or maybe that was just her. See, the thing is, when it comes to things like that, when it's like channeling, it's you're getting the information through your own filter, right? Yeah. So who's to say how accurate that is, right?
Yeah. I feel personally, I want to say impatient. Because I really, really believe that the ETs have already been here for a long time and that humanity does deserve to know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it seems like it's always around the corner, like us finding out.
Well,
it seems like it never comes. So I'm learning patience through this. But I do have a feeling, just by seeing how much is now, how fast things are changing, how much ET-related stuff is in the collective. Even like, they've had like a... government debriefings and stuff, you know, on CNN all about certain, they like, it seems like they're drip feeding out information, but there's just such an abundance. It's kind of coming at us from all angles, where I think the collective consciousness is being warmed up in a variety of different ways, whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
And I think it's happening. It's happening slowly, but also I think it's starting to happen kind of quickly.
Yeah. I also think if you go to, you know, ancient civilizations, right? Like Egypt and the Hopi Indians, the Hopi Indians, they talk about the sky people.
Yeah.
You know, our sky brothers and sisters. So it's almost like, you know, okay, if they're actual beings coming down from the sky, what else could it be?
For sure. That's kind of what I was trying to say. It's like, it's already here. It's already like, if you do enough research, you realize like this is already happening. It's already been happening for a very long time, and it's all over the place. And I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it to be announced, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, we could go on at length about ETs, I would say. But we don't know. We don't know for sure.
No.
We don't know any more than anybody else.
Also, I feel like, I think it bears mentioning, it's like, you know, as far as like all of the questions that we've talked about, all of the topics that we've kind of brushed on, it's all just our own belief system, our own, you know, opinion. And, you know, I think I personally like to hear other people's opinions and perspectives because it gets me to really kind of look at where my truth is.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that because then I can really get solid in my like, oh, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I try to be as flexible as possible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is just sort of a fun conversation. This is not advice or we're not trying to tell you guys anything. This is just
our perspective.
But I really try and I think I do a good job to not identify with these like perspectives. Like if something is shown to me that is contrary to any of what I said, I'm like completely open.
Same.
I really want to know what's real.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be like define me necessarily, you know?
Yeah. The truth seeker.
Yeah. We're seekers.
Yeah.
Like everyone listening here.
Yep.
Well, anyways, my friends, hope you enjoyed that little bit of change of pace here with our podcast. And we'll be back next time with a new episode of We'll See.
Yeah.
See what that is at the time.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. Take care, my friends.
Okay,
peace.
Bye.